Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to understand your word through your Spirit, that we may learn what it is to follow you in all that we do, all that we think, all that we desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been on a diet? Someone tells you, or perhaps you tell yourself, that if you don't eat certain things, it will be better for you in the long run. And you work hard at it, even when it's difficult at times of the year that we celebrate. Christmas ham and pudding, birthday cake. We know that though we suffer now, the long-term payoff is worth it. Or perhaps you've been told to exercise more, that running will help your lungs and your legs, that lifting will make you look muscular, that scuba diving will be a low-impact full-body workout. You suffer in the moment, but you can look to that end goal of being healthy and know that the long-term payoff is worth it. Or rather, we think the long-term payoff is worth it. We hope that it is, but none of us truly knows what will even happen tomorrow. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul is far more confident of the long-term good goal of proclaiming Christ. Far more confident than our goal of being healthy and fit after exercise and dieting. He knows that while he may suffer now for proclaiming Christ, there is a certain hope of eternal life awaiting him and his hearers, made certain by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, as we hear this, as you hear this, do you have this confidence that as you proclaim Christ, you may suffer now, but eternity with God is of such great value that you can set your eyes on Christ and persevere? Paul begins with his proclamation of the gospel, the proclamation of Christ. Read with me verses 1-2. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul and Timothy do not lose heart as they proclaim the word of God. Why do they not lose heart? Well, it's because they have this ministry, the glorious ministry of the Spirit that brings righteousness from earlier, from chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 6, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And verse 9, if the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? And so they have this glorious ministry. And they have this ministry through the mercy of God back in our passage. And so no, they don't lose heart because they have this ministry. Instead of losing heart, they proclaim the truth. Notice the way Paul describes it. He describes it multiple times. Renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception. We do not distort the truth. Set the truth forth plainly. All of these used to describe the way Paul is proclaiming the gospel, that it is not deceptive. He's not lying to anyone. He's not trying to trick them. And this is really important because this idea of speaking the truth is put in opposition to losing heart. Right after he says, we will not lose heart, he says, rather, they will speak the truth. That's the comparison there. Paul says firmly and repeatedly, no, we speak the truth plainly, commending ourselves in the sight of God. Paul proclaims salvation to people. He proclaims the gospel, and he does so truthfully, without deception. He does not lose heart, even if people do not believe. Because some people won't believe. That's the sad reality of proclaiming the gospel, that some people won't believe. That's what could cause you to lose heart and to no longer speak the truth. Verses 3 to 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. As we read this, it's quite sobering, isn't it? For some of us, this is the reality for our friends or family, that we speak the gospel to them again and again, trying to speak it plainly and truthfully, and they don't believe. It's sad. And for some of us, you may feel that you fit into that group yourself, that you don't believe, that you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Maybe you're curious and maybe you're not. Let me just say to you, we're really glad that you're here. You're more than welcome to be here. But I just want to linger for a moment on this. The gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. Those who are perishing. This is what makes the whole situation sobering, heartbreaking. That if you do not trust in Jesus, you are perishing, dying, condemned. And death is a somber thought. And the gut wrencher is that the gospel, it's veiled, it's hidden, made hidden by Satan. Satan, the liar, the deceiver, he's the god of this age. Hidden, the gospel is hidden. The gospel is salvation. It is the light that shines, shows the glory of Christ. But the very mind of those who are perishing, of those who do not believe, cannot see it. And yet, Paul says, in this instance, do not lose heart. Speak the truth of the gospel. What truth can he proclaim that we would not lose heart? Read with me verses 5 to 6. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Paul proclaims Jesus Christ as Lord. That's verse 5. Not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. That is the truth that he is proclaiming, that he is preaching. Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus, the literal name meaning God saves. Christ, meaning the promised Son of God, the promised King of God's people in the Old Testament. This Jesus Christ, who has died, is shown to be Lord God by his resurrection from the dead. And this is the saving message of the gospel. The light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. This is what Paul preaches. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Jesus is Lord. God has raised him from the dead. Jesus delivers those who are perishing, those who are condemned, those who are dying, if they trust him. Declare Jesus is Lord. Believe God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. That's the gospel. That's it. Jesus offers salvation. Would you accept? Would you trust him? And it is still heartbreaking when friends and family do not believe. But we too, all of us, were once perishing and dying, and God saved us. The same God who saved us by shining this gospel in our hearts which were sinful and broken and dark, can shine the light of salvation in the hearts and minds of others. Keep proclaiming the gospel to the glory of Christ. And trust God, trust that he will work. Now note that Paul and Timothy don't preach themselves. They preach the gospel, the true gospel. And they preach it to the point that they call themselves servants. And Paul doesn't say servants of God, which is kind of what I'd expect, but rather servants of the Corinthians. Because it's to them he's proclaiming this gospel under God. Paul and Timothy, they want to minimize themselves, to humble themselves, that the gospel can be maximized. They themselves are weak, are servants. They don't preach themselves but the gospel, that the power of God is displayed. And so it should be with us. Because we are weak. We too have this gospel, this great treasure, and yet we are weak. Weak for Christ, persecuted for Christ. Paul compares humanity as this weakness to a jar of clay, verse 7 to 9. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. A jar of clay, pottery, it breaks kind of easily, it shatters. It's not very strong. And particularly in the time that Paul is writing this, its main use is storage. And so what is important is not the jar of clay itself, but the treasure that's inside it. I think the modern day equivalent is the takeaway container. The container isn't important itself, but rather the delightful food it holds. Even when you repurpose it, the container isn't the important thing, but the new food you carry or the plant you put in it. Paul is weak, humble, unimportant, disposable. Isn't that a bizarre thing to say of one of the apostles who God chose to proclaim the gospel? But he is. He is weak. He is humble. And part of this weakness comes from suffering and persecution. That's what 8 and 9 seem to be all about. And it's never too much. God is strong and powerful. He keeps them from total destruction. But they're like a takeaway container in an ocean storm, because on every side, swamped by water, but not destroyed. The analogy doesn't quite work. But the point is, Paul is suffering for the gospel. He goes so far as to call it death. Read with me verses 10 to 12. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. They carry around the death of Jesus in their body. I think this is the idea that Paul, Timothy, any who trust Jesus are intimately linked to him. Joined to him in his death so that they may be joined to him in life. Jesus as humanity dies on the cross. And so humanity dies with him as the wrath of God is poured out on Jesus. And then he is raised from the dead. And humanity rises too with this life. Therefore, if we trust Jesus, we are joined with him. We are united. Paul points out that they are united to Christ in death, that this true life may be displayed in them. Then he continues saying that those who are alive, that is those who trust Jesus, have this true life, are always being given over to death, that this life may be displayed. They're persecuted, suffering, So much so, it might as well be called death. There's something about the suffering Christian, the weak Christian, persevering in the gospel, which reveals the power of God, that reveals this true life. And I think we can see that in the world around us, in the pages of history, that those who are persecuted and yet hold firm are a great witness to this true life. They trust God so much that they would rather die than betray that trust. Paul and the apostles are one example. Another is Jim Elliot in the 1950s. He went proclaiming the gospel to a tribe in Ecuador. He was killed as he tried. However, his wife, Elizabeth, went to the tribe with the gospel 2 years later, and many of them came to faith. Both Jim and Elizabeth suffered a lot for the gospel, but they persevered in that suffering. They faithfully proclaimed the gospel. Because as Jim wrote, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain which he cannot lose. He cannot keep his life, but he cannot lose that true life. What do we do with this? Because this kind of suffering seems so overwhelming, so vast. It isn't our experience in Pennant Hills, Australia. Now, I don't want to minimize your suffering if you are suffering. Take courage that Paul and Jesus, they both face suffering. And if you are suffering, I hope the following verses will help you to endure. But for many of us, this almost doesn't feel real. We're in a privileged position where our government allows freedom of religion, where our colleagues and friends might think us strange, but they're not going to attack us. And for most of us, even our family will accept our Christianity, even if they roll their eyes. Now, I don't think it's appropriate to seek out needless suffering, but what we can draw from this is the attitude that Paul has toward the proclaiming of the gospel. It was his priority, far above everything else. He did not preach himself. He did not boast of his own persuasiveness. He said that Jesus Christ is Lord. He did not hold back when faced with suffering, when overwhelmed, when persecuted, when struck down, when facing death. And this is an attitude that we should strive for, that we will continue to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Look at the lengths that Paul, Jim Elliot, Elizabeth went to, even to the point of death. Let us continue to proclaim the gospel. Now, it could be tempting to say Paul is an apostle and we are not. But I think all of what he has just said is true of us too. Paul and Timothy have this treasure in jars of clay. So do we. Paul and Timothy carry around in their body the death of Jesus that this life may be revealed. So do we. We too are united in Jesus' death that true life may be revealed. And so I think that we too, no matter what might be facing us, should strive to proclaim the gospel that true life is revealed in us. Consider verses 13 to 15. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. It's written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Paul believes, therefore he has spoken. We believe, therefore we should speak. Because we know God raised Jesus from the dead and he'll raise us too. We should speak. What's the worst that happens? That we would be raised from the dead with Paul? Paul says this for the Corinthians' benefit, that God's grace may reach more and more people. They were the more and more people that were who believed and so now should speak, that they may proclaim the gospel and that even more and more may receive the grace. It's kind of like those tall towers of glasses I've only seen in movies, where liquid is poured at the top and it overflows to more and more and more glasses. The grace is overflowing and abundant. It flows from Paul to the Corinthians and should flow from then onwards, outwards to others. All the way, this grace has flowed even down to the corner of Australia, Pennant Hills. All of it from God through Jesus. It's the free gift of life. And so we too have a part in this for the continual outpouring of grace. Having believed, we are to speak. Trust that God will work. You can't force anyone to trust Jesus, but speak and God will work. Not on our terms, not in our time, but God will work. Invite them along to the Explore series running in a couple of days. Still time, right? It's not too late. Invite them. I think, yes, it's the last minute now, right? Invite them, though. Invite them to church. Or maybe you could be bolder yourself. Ask if they would read the Bible with you. You could start with Mark or Luke. The books, not the people, unless you have a friend, Mark or Luke. Tell a friend you've been learning a short summary of what you believe, and could you practice sharing it with them? Tell them two ways to live. Tell them what it means that you believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Not everyone will have success. That's okay. If you do have a story of someone believing, share it with others so that they can rejoice. Not for your sake, not proclaiming yourself, but that we may all give thanks to God. Because as more and more people believe, we give thanks to God. And we do not lose heart, for we have a permanent hope in Jesus. Permanent hope in Jesus. Verse 16, let's read. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul and Timothy do not lose heart because they have this ministry of the Spirit bringing righteousness. We too should not lose heart because we too have the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do not lose heart, because even though we are weak, we are joined in life to Jesus and we'll be raised by Jesus, raised by God just as Jesus was. Do not lose heart because God's grace abounds to more and more people, even if there's suffering along the way. I spoke at the start of the suffering of diet or exercise, and it has a good goal, but we don't always endure that suffering, do we? This suffering of Paul's is far greater than that of diet or exercise, yet he endures the suffering. Why? Because the reward and good goal are so much greater, because God renews him day by day. Though outwardly they are wasting away, probably from persecution, suffering, even just as they live in this world, they are renewed day by day. And why are they renewed? Because of the life that they have in Jesus. That is what they can continue enduring towards. That's what they can hold on to. Enduring through suffering. Paul calls his troubles light and momentary, yet he was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, whipped. Eventually he died. Again, I don't want to make light of your troubles, of your suffering. But Paul calls suffering light and momentary because of this hope that he has in Jesus. The eternal glory outweighs all of these temporary afflictions of today, tomorrow, this month, all this year, our entire lives. Eternal glory outweighs them all. We can feel weighed down by suffering, weighed down, exhausted at the end of our tether. But fix your eyes on Jesus. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him. For we will receive the end result of our faith, the salvation of our souls. True life, eternal life, life with Jesus, it far outweighs suffering of this world. And so, if you are suffering, persevere and fix your eyes on Jesus. It's God who renews us. There's a time coming when all the miseries of suffering will pass away. Endure them now that you may display the glory of God. Display Jesus' life in you, in the proclamation of the gospel, and that you may be raised in salvation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to trust you. And having trusted you, please help us to proclaim the gospel to those around us and to not lose heart, knowing that you are at work to save. Thank you for those you do save. Thank you for your Son whose death and resurrection saves them. Please help us to endure all hardship by fixing our eyes on Jesus, that your glory may be displayed. Amen.